2 Kings chapter number 6. Also, just keep your finger there marked at Genesis 37, and we will be reading from there shortly. But we want to begin at 2 Kings 6. I want to read verses 13 through 17 to you. If you found your place, ask you to stand and reverence the Scripture if you can. Verses 13 through 17 says this, "And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." There is a place mentioned in this scripture, and it's also mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter number 37. And it's this place by the name of Dothan. I'm very interested in this place tonight, and that's what we want to preach to you on tonight. Is this place called Dothan? And there is a practical part that the Lord wants to show us in this message tonight of this place called Dothan. This place is only mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 6, in Genesis chapter number 37. You'll find it here in the life of Elisha. In Genesis chapter 37, you'll find it in the life of a great man by the name of Joseph. Before I bring out to you what God wants to show you about this place by the name of Dothan, I want to say first of all that I praise the Lord that we serve a God that operates in the realm of purpose. Everything that God does by purpose. And I'm thankful for that. I think of the words of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 5. When Jeremiah was spoken to by God, and Jeremiah was telling him, and down in verse 7 of that chapter, he said, Lord, I'm but a child. I know not what to do. I know not how to go out or how to come in. But it was in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that the Lord told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet. It was also in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18 that God began to show Jeremiah how that he is a God that operates in the realm of purpose. Jeremiah went to the potter's house in Jeremiah chapter number 18, and there he said, I saw the clay in the hand of the potter. Let me say, that's a good place for the clay to be, in the hand of the potter. He said, when I saw the clay, he said, I saw it marred. Meaning that when he saw the clay, he saw not it in the way that the potter saw the clay. I'm glad tonight that the potter looks beyond what you and I can see. Tonight I look at the clay, and people might look at the clay, and you might not see much beauty before you. There's nothing good within myself, I know that. But I'm glad the potter looks beyond what you and I can see. And the potter sees the finished product. And if there be any beauty that will come from the clay, it will not be because of the clay, but it will be because of the hands that are on the clay. It'll be because of the hands of the potter. You think about the potter's house, and you think about that room there that is designated to show off the pottery. That beauty that is in that room is not because of the lump of clay, but it is because of the potter. God operates in the realm of purpose. You are not an accident. I don't believe in abortion, do you? I do not believe that I have two boys because of Alan Laws. I believe I have two boys because God Almighty permitted me to have those two young men. And I believe that when the God of heaven scoops up the dust of the earth and makes us in his own image and breathes into our nostrils the breath of life and makes us a living soul, he does it by purpose. Do you realize? I know everybody tonight is not living for the Lord. I do know
that there's many in this world tonight that is on the broad way and is living ungodly lives. But God creates every human being with a purpose in mind. Even the people tonight that are not living for God, God knows what they could be for the glory of God. God knows what they could be doing for His glory and honor. He has never been shocked. Did you know that? God has never been surprised. It doesn't surprise God that you're doing what you're doing for Him tonight, that you have the talents that you have, for God has given that to you for the glory of the Lord. I remember as a young boy, I sang a song, "Born to Serve the Lord." I was made in His likeness, that song says, created in His image, and I was born to serve the Lord. So to begin with, I want to say we serve a God of purpose. You might say, "Preacher, I'm an accident." No, you're not an accident. You're here on by purpose, and God has a work for you to do. A few years ago, Preacher Darren, I met a young preacher from down in the mid part of the state of North Carolina, and he told me that he was given away at a young age by his mom and daddy. Said he got to an age and his mom and dad just gave him away. Said his mama put him on a bus one time and said she even looked at him and said, "You'll never be anything." She said, "I don't want you anymore. You're just an accident." But tonight he's got a Bible in his hand and he's got Jesus in his heart and he's got the gospel message in his mouth and he's going forth and telling people about a God that does not make accidents, about a God that's never had an uh-oh moment, about a God that does everything in the realm of purpose. That is, it is for you and I to let God do in our lives what He wants to do. It is our choice. We can let Him, just as He spoke to the disciples, and He said, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Those men had to make a choice, and so do you and I. Do you want to live to your full potential for God? Do you want God to do in your life what He knows He can do in your life? It's up to you. It's up to me. I know I'm very small, and sometimes I stumble over my words, but I want to submit myself unto the God of heaven, that He may do with me that He sees fit, that He may get all the glory and the honor that is due unto His name. This place by the name of Dothan, I believe, will relate to you and I tonight by the will of God in our lives. This place by the name of Dothan is in northern Palestine. It is 12 miles north of Samaria. It is between two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. It was a well-watered land, as many fountains, and it was a place for cattle to graze, very green pastures in this place by the name of Dothan. It only shows up in Elisha's story here in 2 Kings 6 and Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 37. When I look it up in the Hebrew, Preacher, it means in the Hebrew, two wells. Now that stirs my mind a little bit because I go back in Elisha's life to 2 Kings chapter number 2. And that's where we meet Elisha at the very beginning. We meet Elisha as he's walking along with a man by the name of Elijah. It is in 2 Kings chapter 2 that they travel to places like Jericho and then they come to Jordan River. And when they come to the Jordan River, Elijah takes his mantle, smokes the water, they walk across on dry land. As they continue to walk on, it is Elijah that says, "What shall I do unto thee?" And Elisha said, "I want a double portion of thy spirit." That a double portion of thy spirit be on me. It was Elijah that said unto Elisha, "If you see me when I go, if you see me when God takes me into the heavens," because you know by the scripture that there was only two men that did not see death, and that was Enoch that walked with the Lord for 300 years, and God took him at the age of 365 and translated him, and they sought for him, and they never found him. And also this man by the name of Elijah in 2 Kings chapter number 2, as they walked on a little further, they were parted asunder. But the Bible said Elisha lifted up his eyes and his voice and said, behold, the chariots of fire and the horsemen thereof. The Bible says when God took Elijah to heaven by whirlwind, that Elisha went back down to the river of Jordan. He took the mantle of the man of God and smote the river and said, where is the God of Elijah? The Bible said the water parted of Jordan and he walked across on dry land. 50 men stood to witness this, and they spake and said, the spirit that was once on Elijah is now on Elisha. As I studied on Dothan, I found that Dothan is considered the home of Elisha. And I thought, Lord, it's almost as if you're speaking to me to say that this place by the name of Dothan is the place that Elisha was directed to. The prayer that he had of double portion, when I read the meaning of it being two wells, I kind of look at Dothan as being a place of double portion. That's what Elisha desired. That's what he wanted from the man of God. And he got exactly what God told him that he could have. I believe that the reason that Dothan is referred to as the home of Elisha is because I believe that's where God pointed him. I believe that's where God told him to go. I believe that's where God told him to dwell. And when he dwelled in that place, God did marvelous things in his life. Now quickly turn with me. We'll come back to Elisha. Quickly turn with me to Genesis chapter number 37. To begin with, I want to say, with living in the will of God, you must go in the direction in which God points you. I believe that's what God wants us to see, number one, with this place by the name of Dothan. Why did Elisha dwell there? Because that's where God told him to dwell. That's where God pointed him to. You've got to remember what Paul told the Corinthian church. We are not our own, for we're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your life is not about your agenda, but your life is about what thus saith the Lord for your life. Oh, and when you live in that realm of following Him and doing what He'd have you to do, oh, you lift up your voice and you'll say, thank God that the Lord is my shepherd. Thank God that a stranger I will not follow. I'm telling you, when you go in the direction that God would have you to go, yes, there'll be those times that it might be a little bit tough, but I promise you it is a place of double portion. Genesis 37, you also find this place mentioned by the name of Dothan. When you get to Genesis 37, I want you to find verse 15. I'll read it to you in just a minute. You know about Joseph. You remember how that Rachel bore Israel, Joseph. You remember how that Joseph was loved more than any of the other brethren. Rachel only bare Israel two boys, and that was Joseph, and later Benjamin was born. You remember Joseph. You remember how that Joseph, as you begin chapter 37, you remember all the dreams that Joseph had. He would get up and the things of God excited him so, Brother Adam, that he would come to daddy and he'd come to his brethren and he'd say, I've had a dream. The God of heaven has showed me something. And just they'd say, son, what's your dream? And he said, well, I dreamed that you had sheaves and I had sheep, and that your sheaves made obeisance to my sheep. There were so many things he didn't understand, but let me say, the things of God excited him. Oh, and I believe he loved the Lord with all of his heart. I really believe that. He'd have other dreams that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars would make obeisance unto him, and he would get up and tell his daddy. The Bible said his brethren despised him because of his dreams. They called him the dreamer. The Bible said Israel loved him so much that he made for him a coat of many colors. Oh, God excited this boy so much. And in Genesis chapter 37, we find him at the age of 17 years old. Just a young man, but he did not despise the Lord in the days of his youth. But he loved God and he loved his brethren. I really believe that. And I really believe that the reason he was able able to love his brethren is because how much he loved God. If you want to love your brethren like you should, love God like you ought to. And if you fulfill that greatest commandment of loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, then you'll have no problem with the second one that is likened to it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. These boys hated him sore. Oh, they couldn't stand him. They called him the dreamer. You'll find in Genesis chapter 37 that there comes a day that his brethren, Joseph's brethren, is in a place by the name of Shechem. It's about 60 miles from where Joseph is at right now. Now, when you see Israel come unto Joseph, he says, I want you to take some things to your brethren. Now, let me tell you where Joseph's dwelling. He's dwelling in a place called Hebron. He's dwelling in a place referred to as Mamre. You remember there was another man over in the book of Genesis chapter 13 that dwelt in the same place, and his name was Abraham. Abraham dwelt in a place called Hebron. Abraham dwelt in a place called Mamre when Lot decided to go to the well plains of Sodom. You say, preacher, what's so important about Mamre, or can also be referred to as Hebron? Well, Mamre means strength and it means fatness. And Hebron means in the Hebrew fellowship. That's a good place to be dwelling, isn't it? That's a good place to dwell every day of your life, is to dwell in the fellowship of the God of heaven, to dwell in daily communion with the Lord. Have you talked to him today? Have you spoke with him today? Have you studied with him today? Have you opened up his word today? Has he just got up close to you today and whispered in your ear those wonderful things of the things of God? It's a good thing, church, for us to dwell in daily communion, daily fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible said Israel came to Joseph and said, your brethren are in Shechem. I'd like you to go check on them. He said, Daddy, I'd be glad to. He gave him some things to take to his brethren. He said, I want you to go. It was about 60 miles, preacher, from Hebron to this place called Shechem. And as he was headed that way, his brethren decided they would leave Shechem. They decided that they would go about 8 miles beyond Shechem to a place called Dothan. They decided that's what they would do. Now, when Joseph gets to Shechem, that 60-mile journey, he doesn't see his brethren. And now I want you to find a verse, and I'll tell you the rest here in just a second. Find verse number 15 of Genesis chapter number 37. Now, when he gets to Shechem, his brethren aren't there. And he begins to look around, and he's wandering around trying to find his brethren. Now, his brethren are not at Shechem, but somebody, Brother Steve, somebody's at Shechem. Somebody's there. And let me say this as I read this scripture to you. This individual is not found by Joseph. But this individual finds Joseph in this place called Shechem. The Bible says in verse 15, and a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Now, let me say, first of all, you'll never find an account in the Scripture where Reuben or Simeon, the brethren of Joseph, you never find it mentioned where they mention meeting this certain man. They never make mention of this man. This man was not seen by them, but this man was seen by Joseph. Judah and Simeon and Reuben doesn't remember even seeing this man, but this man found Joseph. When Joseph got to Shechem, there was somebody there waiting on him. When Joseph got to Shechem, there wasn't just any man there. I don't want to call him a man tonight. I want to call him the certain man. He's the certain man tonight. And let me say a few things about the certain man. I'm very interested in the certain man tonight. Let me tell you this, what Shechem means in the Hebrew. It means a shoulder. I'm glad God knew what Joseph needed at this time in his life. Let me say this, all the dreams that Joseph's been having, all the things that Joseph's been seeing that he didn't fully understand, but he's just kept trusting Jesus. He's just kept loving on Jesus. His dreams are getting ready to become a reality. The things that God has been showing him is beginning to come a reality at this place called Shechem, as he talks to not just any man, but to the certain man. Let me say this, number one, Joseph didn't find the certain man. The certain man found Joseph. Let me say this also. When the certain man found him, he asked him a question. That amazes me, Brother Darren. That an omniscient, omnipotent God that knows all, that is the Ancients of Days, that knows the ending before the beginning ever gets started. Brother Nathan, it surprises me that the God of heaven would ask questions. God does not ask questions to gain knowledge. God asks questions to hear you say what He already knows you need. It was the Lord in the book of Genesis that Adam said, "I was so afraid when I heard your voice walking in the cool of the day." He said, "I heard you say, Adam, where art thou?" Do you remember it was the Lord that asked blind Bartimaeus, "What would you that I do for you?" It was Elijah that got himself in a cave and wished himself to die, that the voice of God came and said, "Elijah, what doest thou here?" It was while Mary Magdalene stood at the tomb weeping there in John chapter 20 that she turned around and she thought he was the gardener. And he said, "Woman, why seekest thou?" You say, "Preacher, are you telling me that you think this certain man was the Lord?" You say, "Where do you get things like that?" Well, I remember a day in Abraham's life. Was it Genesis 13 or maybe it was Genesis 14 that Abraham went down into Sodom and Gomorrah and took on 5 federated armies with only 318 men and delivered a man by the name of Lot and came up out of Sodom, wouldn't take one thing that Sodom and Gomorrah had, but he met a man coming out of there and his name was Melchizedek. You'll read about him in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 6, and Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, he is the king of Salem, which means the king of peace. He is the king of righteousness, it is mentioned. He has neither beginning of days nor ending of days. And he is the priest of the most holy God forever and ever. I believe this certain man was the Lord. I don't know what Joseph saw, but I'm interested. I don't know what it was like that day in Shechem, but I'm telling you that day in Shechem changed Joseph's life forever. Because it is this day in Shechem that he gets more direction. There's been so many things happen that he didn't understand the direction God was taking him. But it's this day in Shechem, talking to the certain man, that he's going to be pointed to new avenues that's going to take him to places that he never dreamed of. But he's going to know who sent him there because he's going to remember talking to that certain man in Shechem. Oh, I'm interested in that certain man. Oh, the Bible said that Joseph had questions and the certain man had all the answers. The certain man had all the answers. It was in 1 Kings chapter 10 that a queen of Sheba came to Solomon's house one day. And she came with hard questions. She came with a great train of great riches, and apparently those riches hadn't answered her questions. And when she came there, she came to prove him with hard questions. But the Bible said he answered all of her questions. And she returned back saying, "The half has not been told." But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ says, "A greater than Solomon is here." You might have many questions tonight. In God's time, He will answer you. And in God's way, He will answer all of your questions. For He is the certain man. The Bible says in John 1:14, He is full of grace and truth. The way the certain man says it, that's the way you'll find find it to be. He said, Joseph, they're in Dothan. And that's exactly how Joseph found it to be. He even tells Thomas in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm talking about the certain man. Oh, I don't know what Joseph saw, but Joseph must have been convinced by him, because he said, tell me where I can find my brethren. Tell me what to do. And the certain man pointed him to avenues of his life that he never thought he'd be pointed to. He's going to go through some of the hardest times of his life. Let me say this. Turn with me quickly to Genesis 45. You realize now that I told you in Genesis 37 that Joseph is only 17 years old. If he stood before you tonight and you were to ask him, Joseph, what was the most difficult time of your life? Preacher Darren, he'd have to say from the age of 17 to the age of 30, because what's going to happen to him at Dothan? He's going to be cast into a pit. His brethren are going to sell him to the Ishmaelites. He's going to be sent to Egypt. In Egypt, he's going to be bought by Potiphar's house. At Potiphar's house, he's going to be lied on by Potiphar's wife. And for the next 13 years, he's going to be spending his time in a rat-infested, a dungeon. He's going to spend his next 13 years. He's going to be forgotten by a butler. He's going to speak to a baker. He's going to just keep on looking toward what the certain man said. But I'm amazed at the next 13 years of his life, because when he could get bitter, he just gets better. He don't get bitter over the next 13 years. Let me say this. After those 13 years are over, he's brought before the king of Egypt. For the next 7 years, he helps them in the time of plenty. And for the first 2 years into the famine, he's governor there of Egypt. And his brethren come unto him, those same ones that sold him, those same ones that cast him into a pit. At 22 years, 22 years go by, and they think he's dead. They tell daddy he's dead. They tell daddy a lie that he's dead. They put blood on his coat and take it back to Israel. And for 22 years, Israel mourns the loss of his son. But in Genesis 45:5, he meets his brethren. And when he could have been bitter, when he could have been angry, when he could have turned them away empty, he filled their sacks. He loved on them. He kissed their necks. He showed them compassion. And I can just hear them say, Joseph, why? Why, Joseph, do you still love me? Why, Joseph, do you still have compassion on me? And you know what he says in Genesis 45:5? He says, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. I got a question, Brother Brent. Where did that happen? What's he talking about? What's going on in that verse? I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's saying to those boys, I met a man in Shechem. I met a certain man in Shechem. And he pointed me the way to Dothan. He told me that's where I needed to go. He told me that's where I needed to be. I can hear him say, all the miles haven't been easy. But I can hear him say, I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for the Lord. I can hear him say, it's been worth every trial. It's been worth every mile. 11 years ago, I announced McCall and Preacher Darren to carry the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has every mile been easy, Brent? Absolutely not. But I'd go back and I'd do it all over again. I'd go back and say, I'll do it, because I met a certain man one day. And this is the way he pointed me. And when the certain man sends you that way, just in faith believing, say, I know everything's going to be all right. Everything might look bleak right now, but if you can tell me you're headed in the direction that the certain man has sent you, I can tell you it might not look good right now, but it's going to be all right. I can see old Joseph waking up every morning in that old dungeon saying, everything's going to be all right. I can hear him saying that. He never gets bitter, Brother Dennis. He never gets angry. And when he had the opportunity, you say, oh, but preacher, there in one place when his brethren brought those sacks, he kept Simeon. And he acted as though he was angry. He only kept Simeon so he could see Benjamin. And when Benjamin finally came, he kissed him on the neck and he said, go back and get daddy. Tell him I'm alive. Tell him I'm not dead. Tell him, I know it's been a hard 22 years, but I met a man in Shechem. Oh, I met a man I could lean on. I met a leaning place, a shoulder. Oh, and he changed my life. And what he's told me has been just the way he said. What he showed me in my dreams. Oh, can't you just see those men come to him? And with those sacks and bow there in Egypt. And I can remember back, I can see him remember back to his dreams and say, this is just the way the certain man said it would be. Oh, I'm telling you, there's something about this certain man. And the reason that Joseph lived such an effective life, because he knew who pointed him the way he was going. And he acknowledged the one that was sustaining him while he was there. Let me say it this way. If God sends you, God will provide for you. If God points you that way, He'll sustain you in that way. You think of Elijah in 1 Kings 17. It was Elijah that went to a brook Cherith and drank of the brook and ate of the meat that the ravens did bring him. It was the same place that the brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming, but God spoke and said, there's a woman at Zarephath. You'll find her at the gate. She's gathering two sticks. She's got a little bit of meal, just a little bit of oil. She's got a boy. She's going to make one cake. She's going to eat it and she's going to die. But she believes in the Word of God. And I've told her a man of God's a coming. And I want you to go up there and tell her, make you a cake first, then make her and the boy a cake. And she's going to eat on it, and the barrel's not going to go dry, and the meal's going to be there every time she needs it until the famine is over. I'm telling you, when you go the direction of a certain man, oh, the barrel might not be full, but as long as there's something in it, that's all that matters. He didn't say it was going to run over. He just said it never would run out. Hey, that's good enough for me, ain't you? We're always complaining, oh, I wish it was this. You might say, I wish it was a running over. I'm just glad tonight it ain't run out. I'm just glad tonight there's still meal in the barrel. Hey, I believe by faith she had to reach back down in there, don't you? I believe by faith she had to dip her hand back then. What kind of faith would it have been if it was just a running over? But every day he'd look over and say, I hear that boy say, Mama, you recognize anything in that barrel today? I believe she said, son, I know there's something in that barrel because I've talked to a certain man. I spoke to a certain man. I'm telling you, we live in a world. You know why so many people have problems trusting God? Because they live in a world of uncertainty. You live in a world of uncertainty. Oh, we used to live in a world that men didn't have to sign papers to agree on something. You could shake hands and trust men. Anymore, you have to lock everything you've got. You can shake all the hands you want and sign all the papers you want. You still can't depend on people. But I'm telling you, in a world of uncertainty, there is still a certain man. And he sits high upon his throne. And his train fills the temple. And what he has said he will do it. I can hear them old boys say, Isaiah, are you sure a virgin shall conceive? I believe when Jesus come to the heart of the earth and preached to those souls, as the Bible says, Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights preaching. I can see old Isaiah jumping up saying he'd done it just like he said he'd do. I'm telling you, what God says he will do, he will do it. I'm talking about a certain man. A certain man. What got Elisha? Why did Elisha go to Dothan? Because that's where God told him to go. A place of double portion. Why is Joseph in Dothan? Can I ask you, why are you where you are in your life tonight? Why are you there? Why are you there? Or is the Lord saying to you, like he said to Adam, where art thou? See, the reason God asked that question to Adam is because Adam was not where Adam was supposed to be. Adam wasn't supposed to be sowing fig leaves together and hiding. If he had been where God directed him to, he wouldn't have been where he was at. Where are you tonight? Where are you? Where are you? Are you in Dothan? There's no place like Dothan. There's no place like God. Such a blessing. I thought, Lord, if I submit to the call to preach, Lord, look what I'm going to miss out on. I'll be a grunting. But you know, I look back at it tonight 11 years later and I say, oh God, if I hadn't have done that, look what I'd have missed. You're missing a lot. by not going to Dothan. You're missing a lot. Can I tell you this number two about Dothan? The devil knows where Dothan's at. The devil knows where Dothan's at. It was in Dothan that Elisha was surrounded by the Syrians. It was in Dothan, as Joseph came up the road, that those boys said, "There comes the dreamer." And they begin to plot and say, "Let's kill him. Let's just kill him." And Reuben said, "Don't kill him. Cast him into this pit." Reuben thought later he'd come back and rescue him. "Just throw him into this pit. You can be sure the devil knows where Dothan's at." In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus himself went to the wilderness, the devil came. When Daniel read the writing of the decree, and I can see him go to his windows as he always did and throw those windows open toward Jerusalem, and he bowed down and prayed, the devil was there. They were standing out on the street corner listening to him so they could run back to Darius and say, "Darius, that man you love so much, he's up there doing what you've made a decree not to do." Be sure. The devil knows where Dothan's at. But can I say this lastly? Even though the devil knows where it's at, Dothan is a place protected by God. Dothan is a place protected by God. It was in Dothan that Joseph came up the road, they looked at it as though it was 10 against 1. But that's not how God saw it. As he came up the road, they were plotting to kill him. Can I say this? There's no way that's going to be able to kill him. There's no possible way. When Elisha, I read to you tonight, when Elisha went out and saw that he was surrounded, the servant said, "Oh, man of God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" I can just hear that little servant, can't you? "Here I've been trying to live right, do what the Lord wanted me to do, and follow the man of God, and look where he ended me up at." Can I say this? Just as that lady that you spoke of, I believe that servant started making funeral arrangements. But I believe Elisha was correcting him to say, "No, we need to be planning for a celebration." Because yes, the devil knows where Dothan's at. But it's a place protected by God, because when those Syrians came off that mountain, Elisha didn't run back in the house and get a weapon. He spoke the word. And blindness smote the whole army. Blindness smote the whole army. Isn't it wonderful to know? I have a picture in my study, and I'm done. I have a picture in my study called The Legacy. I know some of you have seen it. Preacher Claydell and I, we love that picture. And that picture is a man of God standing in a pulpit, and behind him are all the prophets. It comes from that verse, Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore being compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." It has John the Baptist, and it has Peter, and it has Moses and Abraham, all the great men of old. And right behind that man of God, it has the Lord Jesus with his hand upon his shoulder. You know, I thought about that picture with this message, and I thought, you know, just as Elisha told that young man, "You might not see them." That don't mean they're not there. That don't mean they're not there. Friend, you might not see what's protecting you tonight, but that doesn't mean they're not there. Now, I know the devil will bark and he'll howl and he'll holler boo and he can do it all he wants. But I'll tell you tonight, by the words of Elisha, "They that be with us are more than they that be against us." Elisha said, "Lord, I pray thee, would you open the eyes of this young man that he may see?" Oh, can't you see that young man? Maybe even go to his knees in reverence, lift holy hands and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord." See, that's why I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If God be for you, who can be against you? If you're going in the direction that He'd have you to go. Now, don't think there's not going to be resistance. But it's the resistance in the direction I'm supposed to be going that makes me stronger as I go. If that weightlifter never had any resistance, how could he get any stronger? If you're going the way you're supposed to be going, there'll be resistance. But we are more than conquerors because of Him.